Domnule ambasador, despre parteneriatul estic putem vorbi ca despre un aranjament care se mișcă lent, încrezător sau totuși greu?
I can only talk about Moldova because I'm mainly dealing with the relations with Moldova as an ambassador to Moldova. And with regard to Moldova, I think the Eastern Partnership works very well. We have established a very close relationship and we have used the framework that the Eastern Partnership provides very efficiently. That goes for the negotiations on association agreement and DCFTA, but also for the visa dialogue. And I'm very pleased to say that Moldova has also made use of other possibilities, namely of the regional cooperation with the other member states of the other partner countries of the Eastern Partnership.
Dacă la summitul de la Vilnius vor fi semnate cele două acorduri moldo-comunitare care stabilesc condițiile cooperării cu țara parteneră, mă refer la acordul de liber schimb și acordul de asociere, la ce trebuie să se aștepte Republica Moldova și cetățenii ei în continuare după semnare?
In the political sense, of course, it will bring Moldova a good bit closer to the European Union. That means you will be associated, politically associated to the European Union. You will take part in many decision-making processes that are happening in the European Union. But, of course, I would say that the economic component is perhaps even more important for Moldova, because the country will gradually be integrated into a market of 500 million consumers. This will have advantages both for the export side, because the market is huge, and with this DCFTA, many products can be exported that up to now could not be exported, namely all those products which are animal-based, such as milk, butter, eggs, meat, fish, ikra, caviar. All this will be possible because you are about to set up a very good food safety agency, and this food safety agency will be accredited by the European Union, and this agency will check then all these products, and when the products are of high quality, then they can be exported to the European Union. On the import side, imports will become cheaper. That means that many products from the European Union can be bought to a lower price because there will be no import taxes anymore on these products.
Vă este cunoscut faptul că unii politicieni spun tranșant că agricultura Moldovei va avea mult de pierdut în urma semnării acordului de liber schimb. Mesajul lor ar fi unul credibil?
I have already mentioned on numerous occasions that the example of Poland. Poland is equally dependent on agriculture as Moldova. It's the main area in which on which the country depends. Polish farmers were very, very skeptical and were afraid of this European Union, that all the companies would go bankrupt because of the big competition of more efficient farmers in other countries of the European Union. The result is that the Polish agriculture has used all the possibilities that the European Union offered very quickly to their favor. They have modernized their economy and they have become very profitable and very successful. I think you will hear very few complaints only from Polish farmers. Perhaps Moldova can take this as an example and follow. And this is also a chance for modernization. One should not be afraid of competition. It will help the consumers for sure, but I'm sure it will also help the producers.
Recent, Comisarul European pentru Extindere și Politică de Vecinătate, Ștefan Fiule, a spus că chiar dacă Moldova este privită ca o poveste de succes în cadrul parteneriatului estic în țară, totuși mai există probleme legate în mare parte de supremația legii. Care sunt aceste probleme la care s-a referit domnul Fiule?
In Moldova, of course, there are still problems on the domestic side that concerns the reform process overall, which could be faster than it is. And I very much hope that the internal debates inside the Alliance for European Integration will not hinder that these reforms will continue that these reforms will continue and perhaps will even be speeded up. The overall problem is, of course, the fight against corruption. And with this, many other reforms are linked, such as the reform of the judiciary and the reform of the law enforcement institutions and all the conditions for investors, the economic conditions. All this is interlinked, and we believe that these reforms have all to be done in parallel, and if that is guaranteed, then I'm sure that Moldova will be on a good track.
Domnule ambasador, dar dumneavoastră, ce ne puteți spune despre ritmul reformelor? Întârzi sau e cel pe care îl așteptați, cel pe care și-l-a asumat guvernarea?
Well, that depends on Moldova. I don't know. I hope that the reforms will not be delayed, because otherwise we will not be able to achieve our ambitious objectives for Vilnius and for the future as a whole. So I very much hope that the reforms will be continued as they have started and perhaps even be speeded up.
Și această coaliție de guvernare poate finaliza procesul de reforme în Republica Moldova?
Of course, the reforms have been started by this by the Alliance for European Integration. They have shown that they are capable of starting these reforms, so I'm convinced they can also continue and successfully finish them. However, for this, unity is needed. That means a joint approach, and the concentration has to be on the reforms and not on bilateral disputes.
Știu că ați mai răspuns la întrebarea care vreau să vă adresez, dar mai insist o dată. Ce e mai bine acum în situația de criză creată? Alegeri anticipate sau totuși promovarea reformelor?
I think I have mentioned already on previous occasions that I do not think that early elections can be a solution for this country. In this year, which is so important for the Republic of Moldova in terms of its integration, its gradual integration into the European Union, it is very important to concentrate only on the aspects that need to be finalized, namely the association agreement negotiations, the DCFTA negotiations, and the visa dialogue. Unfortunately, early elections would deviate from this topic, and the politicians would concentrate only on election debates and would try to gain as many votes as possible for their own parties, and the reforms would be left aside.
Dar această confruntare care durează de ceva timp în cadrul Alianței pentru Integrare Europeană, cum e văzută de demnitare de la Bruxelles?
Well, obviously it does not give the best picture, and it's regrettable that such situation occurred, because I was under the impression that with the election of the president in March last year, the situation had become more stable inside the alliance, and that indeed concentration could be put on all the work that needs to be done to improve the living conditions for the population of Moldova.
Un posibil scrutin parlamentar anticipat, cum s-ar răsfrânge asupra negocierilor care s-au reluat de ceva timp pe marginea soluționării problemei transnistrene?
I think it's the same as for has the same negative impact as for the reform process on the right bank. I think concentration would not be on this subject, which is urgently needed. We are now in the preparations of the first 5+2 meeting of this year, which will take place on 18th to 20th of February in Lvov in Ukraine. And the start has been promising, I should say, the first informal talks. And we hope that we will be able to achieve something productive in Lviv and also for the rest of the year. But for this, of course, the support of the entire alliance is needed, and perhaps even of the opposition.
Cineva dintre liderii politici și-a afișa nemulțumirea, nedumerirea că în cadrul Consiliului Alianței pentru Integrare Europeană despre problematica transnistreană niciodată nu s-ar fi discutat. E o greșeală?
That I cannot tell you whether there have been no discussions. I do not think that there have been no discussions. I think we have a very capable Deputy Prime Minister for reintegration, Mr. Karpov. But of course, I know that the Speaker of the Parliament has an advisor, and of course also the President has an advisor on Transnistria, and I believe they are in contact and talk to each other. And obviously, it is the government who does the policy, so it is clear that Mr. Karpov has the main role to play.
Dar ce probleme ar trebui să fie incluse pe agenda de negocieri în formatul 5+2?
Well, obviously, we have last year during the last year we have achieved quite a bit of progress on economic and social issues. We know that the Transnistrian leadership is interested in concentrating on these issues. I do not deny that we would like to see as well other issues discussed. We would like to open the so-called third basket in the course of the Ukrainian OSCE chairmanship in office, and I hope we will succeed in this. Now, for this first meeting, I believe we will first of all discuss some social economic issues. We hope that we can come to some concrete results so that also the two leaders, Prime Minister Filat and Mr. Shevchuk, can travel to Lvov in order to conclude something meaningful for both sides, which brings concrete advantages for the population on both sides of the river.
Tiraspolul insistă pe ideea deschiderii unui consulat rusesc în regiune. Ar fi un subiect de actualitate?
This is absolutely a decision, a sovereign decision for the Moldovan government in which we would not like to interfere.
În altă ordine de idei, să vă întreb, opoziția comunistă regretă tergiversarea problemei ce ține de sistarea postului de televiziune NIT, completul de judecat al Curții de Apel Chișinău, care examinează dosarul NIT împotriva CCA, a amânat de nou ședința fără a motiva cumva această decizie, așa cum spun tot deputații comuniști. Ce finalitate ar trebui să aibă acest dosar?
It is obvious that we are concerned about this about all these delays in taking a decision by the Court of Appeals. Perhaps for the last round, for the first time, there was a real reason because NIT provided additional information. And as far as I'm informed, and as far as I'm familiar with the legal procedures, there has to be a certain delay which went beyond the last date of the meeting that had been planned before to look to give a comment on these new papers. Therefore, there was perhaps a good reason for this time, for the last time, to postpone it. However, for the 11th of February, I believe there's no justification any longer not to give any ruling on the 11th of February on this case, whatever this ruling will be. So we will look very carefully at this case and what will happen on the 11th of February. It will have an impact on the future of our relations. This, I think, I can tell. I would also like to say in this context that the commissioner, Commissioner Füle, yesterday, after having received the news that the Mold News company has not received, has been rejected for the second time, a license for cable TV that they had asked for, and the commissioner has put a tweet online in which he raises his concerns about this decision as well as about the delay of the NIT decision.
Domnule ambasador, care ar fi pentru moment trei priorități pentru clasa politică de la Chișinău?
I think the three priorities are clear. First, finalization of the negotiations of the association agreement and DCFTA at the shortest term possible. Secondly, concentrate that the second phase of the visa dialogue can be successfully concluded also as soon as possible. And third, go full steam ahead with the internal reforms, reform of the judiciary and of the law enforcement institutions.
Și pentru că procurorul general, domnul Zupco, a fost demis, credeți că Moldova va avea de curând un nou procuror general?
I very much hope so, because the prosecution has a lot of work ahead. I think there is it is a very important institution which needs a good and responsible leader, and I hope that this new head of the prosecution can soon be elected by a very transparent procedure in which indeed the best specialist wins and not the one who supports best the one or the other party.
Dar pentru dumneavoastră, cei care reprezentați Uniunea Europeană, vă este clar ce s-a întâmplat la vânătoarea din pădurea domnească?
Well, the hunting incident was of course an unfortunate story. I believe, as sad as it is, that someone died in this incident, but this could have happened anywhere in the world. The question was rather how this was dealt with afterwards. And of course there we have raised already our concerns that it took 2 weeks until this incident became known. And now from what I read, from what the Investigation Commission has already found out, indeed quite a few things went wrong. However, I think that the right consequences have been drawn. Mr. Zupko first suspended from his office and later on resigned, and the deputy head of the Court of Appeals has also resigned from his office. So now I believe we should wait for the results of the investigation commission, and then, of course, those who are guilty in terms of not informing the respective leaders should be made responsible if that is the result of the investigation. But I believe also that with this we should conclude the case and concentrate again back on the reforms. We have seen, I must say, I have seen bigger scandals in these more than 3 years than this one. It was not a nice incident, but we should also be ready after the investigation is finished and the responsible ones have been punished, that we come back to normalcy and go on with the reform process.
Și care ar trebui să fie lecția pentru politicienii moldoveni?
I very much hope that this is again something where the Moldovan leaders can learn from what has gone wrong, and that of course this is not this should not happen in a mature democracy. However, Moldova is still in the beginning of its democratic development, so I think one can learn from each of such incidents.
Apropo, despre relația putere-opoziție, ce ne puteți spune? Dar și despre inițiativa privind oferirea conducerii Procuraturii Generale, Curții de Conturi și Comisiei Electorale Centrale reprezentanțelor opoziției, care a fost anunțată de prin vicespeakerul Vlad Plahotniuc. A intrat deja în procedură legislativă. Ce părere aveți despre această inițiativă?
With regard to the work between coalition and opposition, I said many times, and it does not matter who is in the opposition or who is in the government, that obviously the opposition has the right to criticize the work of the government where needed. But it should be a criticism which brings the country forward, which is a constructive opposition, which and not only an obstructive criticism. With regard to the offer by Mr. Plahotniuc to give 3 posts to the opposition, that as such is of course not a bad proposal. The question is whether it makes sense to do this in the middle of a legislation period. The first question. The second question, I believe the question is not whether or not to give such posts to the opposition, but to have a truly neutral and an unpolitical person in these posts of institutions which are of crucial importance, but where absolute neutrality and obedience to the law and nothing else is needed. I believe it is important that the persons who run these important institutions, namely General Prosecutor's Office, Central Election Commission and Court of Accounts, are only that their only bosses, if I may speak, is the legislation and nobody else.